My guest at this time is Florida-based radio talk show host Joyce Kaufman. She had been one of the strongest supporters of Florida Senator Marco Rubio and one of the first prominent voices in Florida to endorse his insurgent Senate candidacy in what was thought to be a lost cause by most people back in 2010. She has now turned very negative towards the senator, especially as it relates to his approach and his involvement in the Gang of Eight and their immigration reform bill. She joins me now to explain that in a little more detail and what she believes the Senate should be pursuing. And Joyce, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. I do have to correct something, though, and I'm going to sound like a politician, but it is the truth. I was never a very big supporter of Marco Rubio because I lived through his tenure at the legislature, including as Speaker of the House, where he literally lied to his constituents over and over again. When he decided to run against Charlie Crist, I took the position that anybody but Charlie Crist, and that Marco Rubio was definitely the people's candidate. A lot of people liked him, and I thought parties shouldn't be selecting their candidates, that the constituents should be. I'm not a Republican, but I have a heavily Republican base in my listening audience. So they wanted Rubio, and I said, all right, well, let me give him a chance. He came into the studio, and I said, what are you going to do on immigration? And he told me he was against amnesty, no pathway to citizenship, secure the borders, that's all we got to worry about, blah, blah, blah. It was a lie.
So have you had any contact with him since he became part of the Gang of Eight?
No, he refuses to appear on my show. He refuses to take my calls. We took a posse up to his office in D.C., and we were politely asked to stand in the hallway where we were summarily dismissed, you know, while we watched members of SEIU and La Raza welcomed in with open arms. This is a man who is just, he's bankrupt morally. He is a horrible example of what happens when a party decides that they really like the way a guy looks and sounds and could care less if he has any principles.
Until his involvement in this issue over the first 2 years of his term, were you relatively pleased with his performance, or were there other issues that also raised your concern?
Yeah, there's nothing spectacular about his short tenure in the United States Senate. It amazes me how the American people will find these, these personalities and elevate them before they've done anything. Marco Rubio hasn't really authored any great legislation. He's co-sponsored some good things. He's also taken some pretty awful positions. And I just think it's an example of how we ended up with Barack Obama in the White House. He looks good, but he really doesn't stand for what he says he stands for.
What are you hearing from your listeners, particularly on this issue, and how they feel about him now?
They're infuriated. They're picketing his district offices. They feel betrayed. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to talk to his Tea Party constituents, who really are the reason he's there in the first place. You know, these guys get up to Washington. You know the scenario. Everybody applauds when they walk in a room. They get a lapel pin, and they forget where they came from.
We're talking with Joyce Kaufman, a Florida-based radio host. And Joyce, we've heard, obviously, a lot of different positions on this issue. It sounds like from your description of your previous conversation with then-candidate Rubio when it came to immigration, and his idea was to simply secure the borders, that is the priority, is that would be your preference. Would it be to enforce existing laws, pass new ones specifically focused on the border? What would be your approach?
Just enforce the existing laws and be conscious of the fact that every nation has a right to its sovereignty. No other nation on earth allows people to come in without registering, without signing the guest book, and then affords them a pathway to citizenship as a reward when they sneak in. This is absolutely anathema to what America stands for. They flee here from governments that behave the way our government is behaving, with lawless disregard for human rights. The most abused people in this whole scenario are those illegal immigrants who are victimized by coyotes, victimized by American employers, used as political capital by both parties. It's obscene. It's demoralizing. I'm Hispanic. It insults me at every level.
Joyce, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a new quote-unquote compromise amendment to the immigration bill designed to beef up border security and also beef up support for this bill. And the Gang of Eight, including Marco Rubio, is behind it. They say that before there's any green cards now, no legalization of any kind, there's going to be a major increase in border security agents. There's going to be the completion of the fence and other security measures. Does that alleviate any of your concerns?
Been there, done that. In 2006, they authorized a border fence. In 3 months later, they refused to fund it. All of this talk is nothing unless there's appropriations. And I know these guys. I know Chuck Schumer. I've been doing this a long time. As soon as they get what they want, they will not appropriate the funds for the Border Patrol agents. Therefore, there won't be any. They will not appropriate funds to build any more fence. Therefore, there won't be any more. And meanwhile, we'll have 11 million plus immigrants with a somewhat quasi-legal status, which still eludes me. They can work, but they don't have a green card. They can do this. They can't get welfare, but they can. I mean, none of this makes any sense. And yet the American people sit here feeling guilty, made to feel guilty by their politicians because they don't embrace every single person who came here.
Joyce, got just a couple quick questions before we go. You mentioned some of your listeners are picketing some of Rubio's various offices around the state. Are you actively encouraging them to do that or anything else, or is this kind of their own spontaneous activity?
Anti-amnesty groups and the pro-legal immigration groups have been, you know, very loud and noisy on street corners for a long time. There are guys down in Dade County who have been showing up at Marco Rubio's office every Tuesday for months. I didn't initiate that, but I have joined them on an occasion or two. We actually did a mock funeral for the American worker when this bill was first proposed. And, you know, Marco Rubio's people had us thrown off the premises. And, you know, he works for me. I got help get him elected. I pay his salary, and he treats me like garbage. He treats all of his constituents like that unless they have a checkbook.
You mentioned something in passing that I think is important to mention, at least briefly, and that's that a lot of times critics of this type of immigration reform are derided as not being able to understand the situation that these immigrants are in. You mentioned your Hispanic descent. You're obviously not an illegal immigrant, but you perhaps have a better perspective on this than others. What's your reaction when folks bring up the fact that Americans simply aren't able to empathize with their situation?
That's a cheap and horrible avenue to take. You know, it is the last resort of scoundrels is to accuse me of something that's absolutely untrue. Obviously, I don't hate my mother, so I can't be, you know, a Hispanophobe. But what I do love is my country. I have over 20 million American workers who cannot get jobs. I'm teaching an entire generation that there are jobs Americans won't do. I have an aide in Senator Rubio's office saying Americans can't cut it in the workforce. This is the most obscene period I've gone through in my life when it comes to the disregard for the American worker. Do I feel sorry for people who are fleeing third world banana republics? Absolutely. But we do those countries no favors by allowing their citizens to come here illegally and not improve their own countries. I just don't understand how we think this works out well for anybody.
2016 is a long way away. Rubio will either be running for possibly president or re-election to the Senate, or both, depending on the laws in the state. Do you get the sense that he'll get a fierce primary challenge if he's running for re-election?
Oh, absolutely. He'll get a fierce primary challenge. He won't be able to beat back Charlie Crist if he decides to run as a Democrat, only because of this issue. He has ruined his political future. I called it. Before anybody, everybody was telling me, you're on the wrong side of this. You want to support Marco. He's the next great leader. And I'm telling you, Marco Rubio will be looking for a job as a lobbyist or with a law firm in 2016. Mark my words.
Joyce, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
I thank you, Greg.
Joyce Kaufman is a Florida-based radio talk show host. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.